The Kevin Smith Show, unique in the galaxy.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the show. Wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth, thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. Some of you are joining us for the very first time. Welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. Couple of quick announcements, and then we'll get into tonight's show. The K-Files e-zine, I had a number of people who have written in lately emails, and they say, look, I resubscribed because after all that stuff with the hacking and everything, it dropped me from the list, apparently, and I resubscribed. But I haven't been getting the K-Files e-zine. Well, in a number of cases, the reason was I went in and looked at the database, and in a number of cases, people had not responded to the confirmation email. There's a link that you have to click, and you subscribe, you get an email, and there's a link you have to click, or in some cases you have to copy it, paste it into the browser, and that confirms that you really intended to subscribe. So in a number of cases, people had not done that, and I fixed that manually. We're getting, it's a minuscule percentage, but it's a large number of emails that are kicking back to us saying, over quota, your box is full and it will not allow any new emails. And so you need to check that, because if you're not getting the K-Files e-zine and you subscribed, there's every possibility that we're getting it kicked back to us. Now, what happens is when it kicks back, then our software puts that at the bottom of the stack, and after it gets through sending everything, then it tries to resend again to the ones that kicked back, that were rejected. If they get kicked back again, it tries one more time. If they get kicked back again, it deletes that email address out of the database. So if you let your box get full, then it's going to kick it back three times to us on one e-zine. Once we get the third one, the software deletes that subscription so that we are not accused of spamming. Okay? So check your email box, empty it. Make sure it's empty. Also, I've been getting email from people who want to know. You know, they say, well, look, you know, we've heard you talk about how people can listen with their cell phones. How do you do that? Well, we have quite a number of people listening and with cell phones, a number of professional truck drivers as they go across country are listening to the show with their cell phones. Now, the instructions on how to do that are at Indie 104, that's INDIE 104.com, and look for the link that takes you to instructions on how to listen. One of their options is cell phone. Click on that, and the instructions are there for you. All right, it's really simple. And so, you know, it doesn't matter where you happen to be or where you're going. you can still catch the Kevin Smith Show. All right, we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes. We have to step away for a break. When we come back, we're going to have a little something special here for us tonight. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Tonight is open line. We have a couple of special things we're going to do first, and then we'll go open line. I do have an announcement that I failed to make at the top of the show, but I need to tell you. Those of you who are members of our members area, as you know, the forums have been down since the last hack attack. Now, the reason they've been down is because I was looking for software that would be more secure than what we were using. I really didn't find any that offered more security than what we already had. But I did install an updated version of what we already had. Now, if you go to the members area, just log in, that first page that opens, and everything is in blue and white, there's a little link down there that says forums. Now, at the moment, there is one forum open, and I'm asking for all of the members to take a look at the message I posted there and respond to it. And then that will help us to determine how we're going to build that back. And we're going to do that this week. So I need to hear from you, like, pretty quickly if you haven't done it, all right? So you log into the members area, and the first page that opens up after you log in, it's all in blue and white. Look for the link in the center of the page that says forums. And now, if you go over to the main members area menu page and click on forums, that won't work. I don't have that linked up. We're doing things a little differently, and that's on purpose. Okay, so I need you to check that link, read the message, and respond to that message, and that'll help us to build the forums the way you want them built. And it's going to be done this week, maybe within the next 48 hours or so. So we need to hear from you, okay? All right, now, what we are going to do is sometime back, I promised you that I would, in fact, be sharing with you some videotaped interviews that I did with some of our listeners up in Sedona, Arizona, at the Ed Grimsley UFO Skywatch Conference. And these are people, you hear them, they call in, you hear them. Well, you're going to get to see a couple of them tonight, interviews that I did with them at Sedona. And after that, we're going to go open line, and I've got some pretty interesting UFO sighting reports that I want to share with you, and we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. But first, let's go to Sedona, Arizona. How does that sound? Absolutely beautiful scenery in the Sedona, Arizona area.
This is Kevin Smith from Sedona, Arizona, and we're at just another part of this really beautiful facility here called the, what's it called?
It's the Sedona Life Center.
Sedona Life Center. Creative Life Center.
Life Center.
And with me is Debbie Ouellette. You hear her from time to time. She's one of the people who listens to the Kevin Smith Show and calls in with very interesting comments and questions. And Debbie, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
You came all the way from where?
Columbus, Ohio. For those of the folks who listen on the radio, I'm Debbie from Columbus.
All right. Now, did you fly into Sedona? Are you flying to Phoenix, or did you drive in? How'd you get here?
Well, actually, I flew into Phoenix. It's a lot easier to do it that way. And I took the shuttle from Phoenix into Sedona, and here I am, basically.
All right. Now, you've attended the whole conference from start to, and it hasn't finished, but it will be wrapping up tonight. But you've been here for the whole thing, right?
Yes, I've been here all 2.5 days. I wouldn't call it 3 days. Friday afternoon was actually registration, but I've been here for the entire conference, yes.
Now, there have been quite a number of speakers, of a lot of variety in the topics. Have you heard anything that you found interesting or useful?
I would say all of it's useful. I think everybody's here for their own interests. Mine basically had to do with the crystals. I think it was probably, who was it? Sorry, I'm drawing a blank. But one of the folks that was talking about the crystals and stuff, so I think it was Dean. And that really fascinates me because I am an energy worker. I'm a holistic health practitioner, and I work with crystals. Those are one of the modalities that I use to work with clients and helping them to become dis-ease free, to actually regain their health, their physical health, mental health, emotional health, and spiritual health. So that interested me. And Joanne Richards was actually very interesting when she was talking about her husband and her father-in-law in the international air defense. And that was kind of like a really big news to me because I wasn't even aware that we were involved in anything like that. And so her talk about the different missions that her father-in-law and her husband have been on and the type of craft that they've flown, which would be probably considered UFOs if we would look at it that way, much more than just ordinary military aircraft that most people are used to. And also some of the unusual, I'd have to say, alien life forms that her father-in-law and her husband have been in contact with. So that's something else that's also interesting me, too. But as a whole, I think the whole thing is, the whole conference is actually very interesting in the fact that there's a lot of these subjects that are not talked about, only on your show, of course, or maybe like Coast to Coast or something like that. Maybe Jeff Rentz and a few of the others. But this is probably one conference I've been to that has been probably the most exciting and most unusual in the information that's been given to presented by the lecturers, because it's on subjects that we don't often hear about, that we're not aware of, that's not made public because the government doesn't want the people to know about it. They don't want the American people to know about it. They don't want the world to know about it. So that was another reason why I came to the conference, was because of that. Well, and of course to meet you too, of course, in person. But
wouldn't travel this far to meet me.
Well, that's your opinion. but
I am glad you did. All right, now let me throw an idea out here and see what you think about this. You know, I was thinking as you were talking about a lot of these topics are not talked about a lot, and you're exactly right. They're not, and there's just a handful of radio shows that will deal with these topics. But, you know, there was a time, I think this is sort of a nervous, maybe even a fear reaction. There was a time in our history when doctors honestly did not know you were supposed to wash your hands. Doctors. Now, what happened was there were some nuns in a hospital that were taking care. They were sort of like midwives, and so they were taking care of the new moms and some post-surgery moms, taking care of the women. And the death rate in that hospital among the women was many times lower than among the men. Which, of course, the doctors were doing all the stuff. And the only difference in their care was that the nuns washed their hands between patients. After they dealt with the patient, wash their hands and deal with the next patient. And the doctors laughed when that came up, when the people started trying to identify what are the nuns doing that's different. The doctors laughed at it. They scoffed. But guess what? The doctors were wrong. Okay? But I think a lot of times some of the laughter or some of the pushback from these topics that we're talking about is maybe kind of like that sort of fear. We already know it all. Don't scare us with something new. It may be just kind of that nervous thing, and that's why they do that. What do you think about that?
I tend to believe that because I think it's just human nature that when a person is not something that they're not familiar with or they don't know that much about, there's always going to be, unfortunately, the fear factor that it's something new. It could possibly be dangerous. It could be something that could cause them harm. So I think that that's probably the main thing. But
well, there's also a lot of people really worry about what are other people going to think about me. Mm-hmm. And maybe I am extraterrestrial because I don't get it. Other people don't pay my bills. And so if they don't like me, fine. There's no law that says they have to. If they think I'm nutty, fine. There's no law that says they have to think I'm sane. I simply don't care. If they, whatever choice they make is fine with me. And I don't get it. Maybe you can explain to me why people would be that concerned about what someone else thinks of them. I don't understand it.
Well, again, I think it all falls in the realm of they're not able to really look at what their life is really like. They're afraid that other individuals are going to judge them by what they say or what they do, their actions. And it's more of probably like acceptance, wanting to be part of the group, wanting to be part of the popular people. At least that's my experience. I'm a lot like you. I don't go out of my way to try to make enemies with, you know, people. I can't because I work with people all the time. You know, I'm a people person, such as yourself, and so I don't go out of my way to try to make my clients feel uncomfortable or anything like that. But unfortunately, I think that's what our government is trying to do to the majority of the American people. They're using, I feel, fear tactics and things like that, and disinformation, and lies and cover-ups to keep the majority of the American public ignorant as to what's really going on with the government, and, you know, black ops and all these different things. And I just think it's really sad that in Joanne's husband's Mark's case that, you know, he's jailed for 28 years for, you know, just serving his country. And because they no longer have need of him for, you know, what he's done, they put him in jail and blame him for something that for a murder he never committed. And that, to me, is just, I'm like you, I don't understand that. I supposedly, you know, we're supposed to be the land of the free and the home of the brave. But, you know, when our...
That means work for free and be damn brave about it.
Pretty much. But my dad...
That's a joke, folks. I love my country.
Well, I'm patriotic, too. My dad was in the military for 30 years, and I'm an Air Force brat. So I'm very patriotic to my country. But at the same time, I just see what these things that are going on that our government is doing, and... At times it makes me pretty angry, and at other times I just feel really sad because the people shouldn't be kept in the dark. They should be made aware that these things are happening, that these UFOs are real, these aliens are among us, and we really need to get the word out because, you know, we're not the only ones here. For us to assume that we are the only sentient beings in the universe is just a load of horse pucky to me, because we're not.
Horse pucky.
Yeah.
That must be an Ohio phrase.
It is. It's kind of up there with cow patty.
You know what we call it here? I can't say it.
Well, that's why I said a horse fucking stew.
All right. So you're going to be here, though. The conference ends tonight. You're going to be here for a few more days, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to be happening?
Well, actually, tomorrow, this is going to be kind of funny. I'm going to kind of make relay this real quick. Michael Elasian, who is a really wonderful guy, he is a channeler for Lord Ashtar of the Ashtar Command and other beings. These beings are cosmic beings that channel directly through Michael. Michael has been doing this ever since he's been very young, I think 16 years old. So he's been doing this most of his life, and he's a direct channeler. And Lord Ashtar and Voltra and Zosser and quite a number of the other cosmics, they are in the Intergalactic Federation of Light, and their force helps to oversee the protection of Earth from other beings who would, you know, malevolent beings who would try to come in and cause problems for the people of Earth. Anyway, Michael and Aurora Light have just started this year, from what I understand, Vortex Tours of Sedona, and for a little additional money in addition to the conference, Michael will take us up to the different vortex sites around Sedona, which is Cathedral Rock, Bell Rock, Boynton Canyon, and Airport Mesa, and do ceremony. Well, Thursday, we were supposed to, four of us going up in addition to Michael, and we started out at Boynton Canyon, and we were about 10 minutes into the walk, and it looked like it was going to rain, so I told Michael I was going to, you know, tell the rain elementals if they could kind of hold off until we went up to the mesa, went to the vortex, got the meditation in and done, and then came back down. Well, that didn't happen. We got rained on pretty heavily, so we had to turn and go back to the truck, and Michael said, well, okay, well, let's try for tomorrow, meaning Friday. And actually, Friday went pretty good. We, it takes about maybe a half hour to get up there by trail, and we were at the top of the vortex, and I kind of did a reading, and after that, the reading basically was I saw a planarian ship. That would be like Billy Meyer's planarian ships that he has seen and he's photographed. And the ship was cloaked. I could only see it with my psychic eyes. I couldn't see it with my physical eyes. And the pilot is named Arajak, and he is second or third cousin to Semyazi, who is Billy Meyer's contact with the planarian people. And his co-pilot and mate, Marielle, and they were just kind of keeping an eye on what was going on in the valley, but particularly down in the Enchantment Resort. I guess they were building something because we could hear the saws and the trees and stuff. So anyway, after that kind of contact, Michael, we got things set up for the meditation, and Michael started the meditation, and probably about maybe 10 or 15 minutes in the meditation, it started raining. Well, I told Michael, I said, I'm not going to take the blame this time for the rain elementals, because I knew they were around us, but I didn't acknowledge them, so that doesn't really mean that, you know, they have the right to come and rain on us. So it got, it actually became pretty bad. Michael was, as we were folding the items up and stuff, the drop cloth and things,
and welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. I hope you enjoyed that brief interview we had with Debbie from Ohio, from Columbus. I met not only at this Sedona conference, I mean, I was there as a speaker, but I was also getting these interviews. I met at this conference a number of people who've been guests on this show. And I met a number of people who came from all over the United States that listened to this show. I couldn't get everyone on a videotaped interview. Some of them were a little shy and didn't want to be on camera and microphone. And then there were time constraints as well. But I got some. But it was just really, really a great time. And look, the next time that you have the opportunity, you need to attend one of these Ed Grimsley Skywatch conferences. People actually got to go out on the parking lot at nighttime in front of the conference center and look into the skies and see with their own eyes through the night vision equipment these objects, these UFOs. And once they see, you know, when you hear people talk about it, it's kind of a normal thing that, you know, you say, well, you know, maybe it was birds, or maybe it was bugs, maybe it was bats. You just don't understand. Through night vision equipment, a bird still looks like a bird. It's just that everything's kind of green, but it looks like a bird. And a bug looks like a bug, and a bat looks like a bat. And these things are way up there. Well, it was fabulous. Just people got to see them for themselves. And there were all kinds of oohs and ahs. And, you know, people my age and older out there giggling like three-year-olds because they just couldn't believe their eyes. Or they did believe their eyes, but it was shocking for them. But anyway, you need to go. If you get a chance to go, if there's another one, you need to go and be a part of it. It was really fabulous. Now, you just saw Ricky Hamilton during that break, if you're watching KSS-TV. And I want to do a short, I want to present to you a short video now of my interview with him. I think it's a little less than 5 minutes long, and then we'll get into our open line.
This is Ricky Hamilton. Ricky is a very faithful listener to the Kevin Smith Show, and you've seen him in one of our commercial spots for God's in the Garden seminar, and he did that on his own, so he's a film producer too. But tell the folks, what part of the country are you from?
Richmond, Kentucky. Right in the center of Kentucky.
All right, from Richmond, Kentucky. And here you are in Sedona, Arizona. And you're here for the UFO Skywatch, Ed Grimsley's UFO Skywatch Conference. What do you think so far about the conference?
Conference has been great. Sedona is absolutely beautiful. I'm ready to move.
Pretty stunning, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Is it more beautiful than Richmond, Kentucky?
Yes, it is, probably, but Richmond's going to always be home, so that's always where I'll go back to.
In this UFO Skywatch conference, what has happened here? What speakers have you heard or information that you've gotten that really stands out to you as a peak?
Oh, gosh. All of it, actually. I loved your part, Ed's part. All the speakers have been great. Can't say anything bad about any of them. It's been enjoyable.
All right, now you flew into Phoenix and then you rented a car.
Drove up.
And drove up here. Mm-hmm. It's been raining most of the time. And you've not been able, because of rain and clouds, you've not been able to actually do a sky watch at night. Now, I want to point out something, just get you to comment on this. If we look this direction, the sky is absolutely clear over here.
Blue.
And I look right here, and it's clouds and dark and raining. So what's the deal with this?
It's going in the right direction, though. It's leaving.
Is it headed away?
I think it is. I think it's moving away. I think the blue's coming in.
So there maybe there will be a sky watch tonight.
I believe there will be.
Have you seen, first, have you ever looked at the sky at nighttime through night vision goggles?
Yes, I have. I had a pair of Russian cheap glasses, and they worked fairly well. I never saw any UFOs or anything, but I have used them before.
You've seen Ed Grimsley's video that he showed here of UFOs filmed through night vision. So what do you think? Is that real, or did he fake that?
That's absolutely real.
So maybe you'll get to see some tonight.
I hope so. Just one would be enough.
Well, if the sky clears, I'm almost certain that you will see some. Because almost every time he goes out and does a sky watch, people see the UFOs. All right, is there anything that you're still looking for in this conference that hasn't come up yet?
I think I'll go listen to Joanne Richards talk about her husband or whatever's involvement in the space fleet, and I think that's going to be interesting.
All right. Well, I think she's probably up right now, so I'm going to let you go.
That sounds good.
Thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Kevin.
Well, all right. Welcome back from our brief video excursion there. I hope you enjoyed that. I've got one or two more. I'm not going to show them tonight, but we'll show them in the days ahead. But as you can see, that's two of our listeners that traveled from across the country to come to this conference. And as you can see, and as you heard, those of you who are listening via radio and cell phones, they really enjoyed the conference and found it to be quite profitable from, or beneficial, I guess, not profit in, you know, like money, but profitable from an informational point of view. There were some really great speakers there. So what we're going to do now is I want to share with you a couple of UFO sightings, and then we'll go open line for the remainder of tonight's show. Tomorrow night, we can talk about this a little bit too. Dr. Michael Sala is going to be my guest tomorrow night. He has been publishing a series of articles about the connection between John Kennedy, President Kennedy, and UFO information, and links that he sees between that and President Kennedy's assassination. So he's going to be with us tomorrow and has told me that he's got some bombshell information that is coming out this week in the final article that he's publishing at examiner.com. So we can talk a little bit about that too if you'd like. I saw something really, really interesting today in current UFO news that's out there on the internet. Now, this is just a little one-paragraph thing, but it appears to be, I don't know this for sure, it appears to be written by the editor of a newspaper. Now, let me read it to you, and you'll see why. This is from Rapid City, and I'm assuming that means Rapid City, Iowa, and it came out today. It was published today out on the internet. And it says this: at about 10 p.m. and again between 4 and 4:30 a.m., I saw a triangular-shaped craft flying high above Rapid City. It made a loud humming noise before accelerating at an immense speed and disappearing out of sight. Now, here's why I think it's the editor of the paper. If anyone else witnessed this event, please write a letter to the editor at the Rapid City Journal and let me know. I don't know for sure that that's the editor, but it sounds like it, doesn't it? I think it would be a great thing for many editors across this country and many producers of news shows to have their own sighting of a UFO. Now this, you know, some people will say, well, that's probably just advanced aircraft that America is testing. Maybe it is. It's still unidentified and flying. That makes it a UFO until we're able to identify it. But I think it would be a great thing for many of these editors and producers to have their own UFO sightings because then they will be searching for answers to their questions instead of just trying to debunk other people. I think it would be wonderful. Let me go ahead and open the phone line. The telephone number is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. I have seen with my own eyes something just about as amazing as seeing UFOs. I have seen UFOs. I saw something just about as amazing. Maybe at this stage of the game, at this stage in my life, it was just as amazing. And that is when people, for the very first time, see with their own eyes and know for sure that it's not a bunch of hocus pocus, it's not a bunch of nonsense, it's real. Now, that was at the Ed Grimsley UFO Skywatch Conference back in May up at Sedona, Arizona. And the reason I say up at Sedona, it's north of Phoenix. It's up in the northern part of Arizona. And so as they looked through those night vision goggles, they were having responses that they couldn't stop. You know, one guy, I think I told you this before, said, "Oh my God, I can't believe what I'm seeing." It has an effect on people when they know for sure because they're looking at it. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is Stefan from Quebec City. How are you?
Outstanding, Stefan. How are you?
Fantastic. Great interviews with the listeners to the show, and it's nice to see a different angle on the show tonight. I was just commenting on the opening graphic on your site there. It looks like you got a fiery-looking hawk or an eagle. Is that what I'm looking at?
Well, you know, it's supposed to be a phoenix.
Ah.
But it doesn't look like a phoenix. It looks like a hawk or an eagle that's on fire. But
I find it very interesting because in the UK in the past week, they've had a sighting of a large phoenix in the crop circles and also what looks like might be an Aztec bird or a thunderbird this week.
Yeah, that's why I chose that graphic. Listen, Stefan, can you hang on through the break?
Sure.
Yeah, you hang on and we'll be back. I don't think you'll hear any music or anything, but we'll be back right after this. Welcome back. Let's go back to the telephone. Stefan, you still with me?
I sure am, Kevin.
All right. Let me make a quick announcement. That song that you just heard is by a group called Gypsies Watching TV. That's the name of the group. And the name of the song is Welcome to the Show. Independent artist only here at the Kevin Smith Show. All right, Stefan, there has been... quite a display, if you will, of the eagle figure or the phoenix figure in these crop circles, and it's kind of big news. What do you think the significance of it is?
Well, from my people's perspective, the Cree, what I've always heard growing up is that the Thunderbird is the most powerful, or one of the most powerful spirit beings we have in our culture. Portrayed as a giant bird, I've often heard of it as a large eagle, an extremely large super eagle, if you will. And other than that, I don't really know too much about it, but it precedes the storms, bringer of thunder and lightning, and also it protects the people during hard times. So it's almost like a spiritual protector being as well. Of course, you see it in totem poles in the Pacific Northwest. And I've read in some places on the internet that according to some cultures, especially other Native American Indian cultures from maybe different parts of the Americas, that it might have been also a representation of triangular craft with occupants inside. So I think there's several different interpretations of the symbol, but I think it's a clear indication, because the Phoenix one, there was a lot of speculation online as to what it actually represented. Some people saw a bird, some people didn't see a bird, and I think the second one, well, it's undeniably a bird, so somebody is clearly trying to tell us a message.
Yeah, I don't know what really to make of these crop formations that are showing this figure. I don't really know what to make of it. In fact, I don't really know what to make of these crop formations, or we refer to them sometimes as crop circles. But I have had here on the show Nancy Talbot, and she is one of the handful of people who have actually seen a crop circle being made. And it was a beam of light that shot from the sky. And when I said, well, from a spaceship or from what, she said, we could see nothing up there that was causing it. But it came down from the sky, and in a matter of seconds, there was a crop circle. And they walked right out into it with the plants with steam still coming up off of them.
Wow.
So I'm not really sure what to make of, you know, what is their meaning? What is their purpose? I don't know, but it's very interesting.
I mean, if that whole area, I mean, right around Stonehenge is pretty much where most of the circles take place, and apparently, according to their own history, they've been taking place for at least 1,000 years, if not more.
Yeah, and you know, the interesting thing about this, if it's all hoaxers, one would wonder why there would be opposition to people like Colin Andrews, who investigates them, writes about them, speaks about them. Why would there be resistance to that and interference with him by apparently British intelligence? If you know, if indeed it's being done by hoaxers, then why would there be any interference with him?
Yeah, exactly. Great point. And I think also, if it was hoaxes, well, why is the media ignoring it? You know, I mean, if I was a reporter, I'd be giving my left leg to get the inside story on this whole underground culture that goes in night after night and creates all these huge formations. I mean, I'd kill to get a chance like that.
Oh yeah, and these hoaxers apparently have a worldwide underground network.
Yeah,
because it happens all over the place. Stefan,
1,000 years. Well, thanks for the great show, Kevin, and I'll continue listening. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Bye bye. The telephone number is 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889, and the telephone line is open. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Rick from Kentucky.
Well, hello, Rick.
How you doing tonight, Kevin?
Good.
Good
thanks.
To see you feeling better. I know you were under the weather last week.
I was.
I'm a member of MUFON, and I got an email yesterday from our state director, and it said that France is going to release information this Friday that we are not alone, that they're going to confirm that there are visitors from other planets, and it is going to be released on Friday. Have you heard anything about that?
Well, I heard last week that it was going to happen last Friday, and and it didn't. So maybe they had their dates mixed up, or maybe it was postponed.
I got the email yesterday.
Well, at that point, then, I would say that, the cat is entirely out of the bag. And
I hope it's true.
Well, I can't see. Is this the French government or the French military that's going to do this?
I don't think it said. It just stated that France was going to release the information.
If it's a UFO investigation group or if it's an exopolitics group in France that does it, it's going to have very little impact around the world.
Yeah.
If it is the French government or if it is the French military, are both of them together that do this, then it's going to have a really huge impact. And I cannot see at that point how the information could be continued to be bottled up here in this country.
I don't either. They also said in the letter that Holland and Germany were poised to follow suit after France.
So what we're seeing then is sort of this unfolding of the agenda that we were told about this reported meeting at the UN.
Yeah, and it also stated that these countries were tired of the United States pressuring them to keep the secrets. They were tired of it.
Well, yeah. Look, you can only pressure folks for so long, and then, enough's enough, and they just reject it.
Yeah, they all don't want to look like idiots. So, I'll go ahead and forward this to you after the show, and you can take a look at it.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you much.
Okay.
All right.
Talk to you later, Kevin.
Bye-bye. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889 is the telephone number. And we are working on our the backup telephone system, so it doesn't automatically answer the telephone and put people on hold and line them up for me. All right, 623-444-5889. And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Rich from Salt Lake City.
Hi, Rich.
Hey, first off, I want to say I really enjoyed the two interviews you put on video. I liked it because I got to know a little bit more about the callers that call in before that have called in before, so it was great.
Well, thank you. Rich, this show from the very beginning truly has been all about the audience. And we try to schedule the guests that are requested by the audience. I try to schedule the topics that are requested by the audience. And so I think it's a good thing when the audience gets to see the audience.
Yeah, and I think that's good. And I feel like that the group that listens to the audience and stuff is great, and that's why I love your show. But the reason I'm calling... Well, there's no reason, because I just enjoy your show, other than the show started on Ed Grimsley.
Yeah.
And I try to debunk everything I hear. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I try to do. And Ed Grimsley, I have not been able to do... to debunk him. I can debunk a lot of people, but I can't debunk Ed Grimsley. And I Google him and put debunk in there, and I can't find it. And I hear your shows about how people come and they see it, and they're saying, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, Rich, can you hang on through the break?
I can.
Yeah, hang on, and we'll be back right after this, folks. Welcome back to the show, and Rich in Salt Lake City. Rich, you said you tried to debunk Ed Grimsley and had been unable to do so.
Yeah. Most of the stuff in the UFO field, as soon as I hear it, I usually go on to the Internet and Google it to try to find out more. And I've put on, after I've searched a little bit, then I had debunked my search. And Ed Grimsley, with the night vision goggles, what I find out is a few Marines in Iran, or not in Iran, but...
Iraq.
Yeah. That have seen stuff, and they got films of that on there, and I haven't been able to find stuff say, well, what he is seeing is, but I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I'm saying, well, why aren't other people coming out and saying, yeah, there is? I mean, how come there's not a big explosion of this is what it is? Because night vision goggles have been out for a while, have they not?
They have. The ones that you need in order to see these craft, whatever they are, the night vision goggles you need for that are really top of the line, even above military grade. And they're very expensive. And so most people can't afford to throw down nearly $4,000 for a set of these. So, there has been an explosion of interest as Ed Grimsley holds these sky watches across the country. People flock to his sky watches and look through the goggles themselves and see for themselves the things that he's talking about. And one of the things that he does to help first-time viewers, you put the glasses to your eye, the goggles to your eyes. He's got a set. He locates either one or more of these UFOs, and then he's got a laser pin. And he fires up the laser pin and points up into the sky at the spot where you need to look. Well, of course, that lights up in your night vision goggles. And you just follow the beam of light right up to the thing, and then he turns it off, and you just watch it. It's absolutely astounding.
I'm just so amazed that if it is real, why is it not being covered by major media who can afford to buy the night vision goggles?
Well, major media truly is not in the business of informing the public. Major media is truly in the business of forming public opinion. And they are in the pockets of regulators.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in my opinion, you know, everybody is to make money. And so if major media is not doing there, you know, I'm just lost on
it. It's amazing to me. Major media's numbers, their ratings, are in the toilet. In fact, this last year they went down the toilet. And yet they persist in this mindless resistance to the facts. They don't want you to know there are UFOs. They think you're foolish if you think UFOs are real. They will ridicule you And they do this even though the vast majority of Americans, according to polls, think that UFOs are indeed real and that the government is covering up information about UFOs. So they're spitting in the faces of the majority of the people they are trying to get as customers for their product. Makes no sense. I'm at a loss as well. I have no idea why they persist in this. It makes no business sense at all.
Well, it just seems to me, if you could prove that UFOs are real, me and you could get together and make a lot of money.
You can prove it. All you have to do is look through the night vision goggles and see them. They're up there every night. And getting together and making money on that, there are people who still believe the earth is flat. You know, it's very, very difficult if you're going to be presenting this information. It's very difficult financially. This show is live around the planet. There are people in 95 countries watching and listening right now. And we barely can pay the bills. And we present this kind of information all the time.
Can you tell me the next time I can see either Ed Grimsley or anybody with night vision goggles that I can go look and see? Yeah, that's right.
I'll tell you what I'll do. If you'll send me an email, I'll reply to it and give you Ed Grimsley's phone number. You can call him directly. And he can tell you. I don't have his schedule, but he can tell you.
Okay. Because I'd love to do that. I know that when you guys were in Arizona, I was like, I live in Utah, and it's like, it's not that far I should go. And after the fact, I was like, I should have gone.
Oh, yeah. It was incredible when we walked out onto the parking lot, and he handed out all the night vision goggles. People immediately started saying, before he even gave instructions about what to look for, how to look, where, what part of the sky to look in, before he even gave any instructions, people immediately started saying, oh, look, I can't believe that. And, you know, it's they're there. They are absolutely there. Now, who they are, I don't know.
Yeah, I'd love to hear an expert say that has night vision goggles or military try to explain it away. That's what I would like to hear.
They're not going to do it because they can't.
Yeah.
You know, that's like trying to explain away the sun. It's just there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for the call, man.
Thank you.
All right. 623-444-5889 is the number to call. 623-444-5889. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, hi, Kevin. This is Ryan in Washington.
Hi, Ryan.
How you doing?
Good. Thanks for asking.
Good. Interesting show, as always.
Thank you.
I was going to ask you, what do you think about, I was just curious about your background. How did you get interested in this topic of the strange and unexplained?
Well, there's two things that, I guess, that sort of pointed me this direction. One is the first UFO that I ever saw. I was 7 or 8 years old, and I've told this before on the show, so you're probably familiar with it. But me, my sister, my mom, and dad all saw it. We were leaving a skating rink and had walked out onto the parking lot, and were getting into our car to go home, and this thing flew right over us. And lit up the sky, lit up the ground, and it was very definitely not a meteor, although that's what was reported in the newspaper. It flew over at a low altitude. So there was that. Since then, I've been just fascinated and curious about what are these things. And then years later, as a cop, one of the things that always interested me and made me a very detailed and successful investigator was that I always noticed what a witness or a suspect doesn't say. It's what they don't say that usually hides the biggest chunk of information. And when you look at all of these sightings all over the world, and then the press, the media, the major media, just doesn't say anything about them. Then when you do have some kind of statement out of the military, that statement would be something like, well, we don't investigate UFOs. But in any event, we don't deem these to be a national security or a threat to our security. They're not a national security threat. Well, if you're not investigating UFOs, how have you determined that they're not a security threat? You follow what I'm saying? And so it's in what they weren't saying that really attracted me and got me interested in, well, let's go into this black hole. Let's find out what is in this hidden compartment. Things they don't say, things they don't report. What's in there? And why is it they're not talking about it? So that's those two things really sort of joined forces to attract me, I guess.
Yeah, I'm getting tired of hearing about Miss California on the tube there.
Well, yeah, but at least it's a break. It's a little bit of a break from Brittany and Angelina.
But hey, one of these days we're gonna do one of the conferences up here. I know it's kind of a ways away from Arizona, but there's a great hot spot up here, and it's over there at Mount Adams, James Gilliland Ranch over there, which is the area, exact same area where Kenneth Arnold, where he termed the phrase the flying saucer before Roswell. But anyways, that place there, there's definitely something going on there. I haven't been able to get down there and visit down there, but there's some videos out on, I think, on his website. And,
And he's been a guest on the show, and what an excellent guest he was. Lots of information. Brooks Agnew.
Well, there's anybody out there in the audience that ever seen out at his place, and I know that thousands and thousands have,
Yeah, well, Brooks Agnew, Dr. Agnew, has been out there, and he's been on the show, and he's talked about what happened to him out there. Very amazing stuff. Hey, listen, I appreciate the call. I got to run and take the next call.
All right. Okay, Kevin, well, you take keep up the good work.
All right, thanks. 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. I was saying earlier that we're using this backup telephone system. We will have a new system in here supposedly tomorrow, but we're sort of using this backup system. And, we're not sort of using it, we are. That means I have to watch a little blue light about the size of the tip of that pin. And when I see it flashing, I answer. So if you called in and I missed your call, please don't be upset. Now, we do have someone calling the old number, and they're calling it over and over, and we're not going to answer that number because there are problems with that system. And so we're using the backup system. 623-444-5889 is the telephone number. It's open line live. That means we'll talk about whatever you wish to talk about. One of the things that I talk about frequently on this show, and it's come up tonight a couple of times, has to do with the mass media, major media. And it has to do with the way they put their spin on things. And I have an example here from the UK. Here in this story, This was published yesterday. Unidentified glowing orbs were seen over what they're calling the Lake District above Ulswater on Saturday night over the Park Foot campsite. And it's pretty interesting the way it got reported. We'll talk about that perhaps at some point here tonight. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Debbie from Columbus.
Oh, hi, Debbie.
Hi. Thanks for kind of showing the interview. I kind of caught almost the tail end of it. I was kind of busy with something else. I'm kind of hoping that folks did see it so they can see how much fun we had at Ed's conference.
Boy, it was a great conference, wasn't it?
Oh, it was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. And, you know, like quite a few of the other folks that you interviewed and quite a few of the other folks there, I really didn't want to have to come back to Columbus. But, you know, you only got so much money and so much time available to you down in Sedona.
It was almost otherworldly when we first started the conference, to be up on top of that mountain and seeing the clouds hanging so low and passing in front of the cliffs out in front of us and so forth. It was just almost otherworldly. It was marvelous. It really was.
Yeah, it is. Well, and like I was, I don't know if I remember saying that on the interview or not, but for those of us that are, you know, psychic and that do work with these natural energies, for us it's almost like coming home. It's like coming into a very wonderful, great family reunion, I just was very much at home in Sedona. I mean, that was the first time that I had been there. I'd been to Phoenix a number of times, but that was my first time in Sedona, and I just absolutely fell in love with the area. I mean, it's so beautiful. It's, you know, completely.
All right, let me ask you something, because we hear a lot of stories about Sedona, and we hear a lot of stories about these energy vortexes. And although, let me say, I have had people write to me and correct me and tell me, Mr. Smith, it is not vortexes, it is vortices. Okay. So anyway, the vortices or vortexes, we hear a lot about those. Did you actually sense anything different? Did you actually sense that, because you are a sensitive, did you sense different energy levels or different energy types or something happening there?
Unfortunately, we only got a chance to go to Boynton Canyon. You met Michael Alejon. Michael and Aurora and Bill Alec are actually getting together Vortex Tours of Sedona, and unbeknownst to the team, in order to be able to do Vortex Tours, you actually have to have a permit. So unfortunately, we were only able to go up to Boynton Canyon. I had wanted to experience the other three vortexes, and hopefully, you know, I'll be able to do that when I head back down to Sedona, because I am planning on going back there in the near future.
So you noticed something different, though?
Oh, yes, yes, definitely. Mm-hmm. As we were coming up, I mean, I don't know if you've been up to Boynton Canyon or not, if you have ever had a chance to go up there.
No.
But there's a number of trails, and the main trail, which is the Boynton Canyon Trail, is what takes you up into that area, and that's probably about a 15 or 20 minute walk on that trail. Anyway, the trail trail splits up from Boynton Canyon Trail, and the one on the left becomes the Vista Trail, and the one on the right is the Dead Man's Trail. So we took the left trail, the Vista Trail, and that is, you're scrambling over some rocks and stuff like that to get up to the back side of the saddle of the mesa. And it's really interesting. The trail markers actually look like little cairns of stones. And I don't know if you're familiar with a cairn, but in Ireland, it's a group of stones that marks, it can mark a grave site, and or it can also mark an area of intense electromagnetic energy, whether it might be a vortex or possibly a crop circle or a ley line or something like that. Well, anyway, these trail markers kind of reminded me of cairns of pictures that I had seen in Ireland. Well, as we're going up, start to go up the trail to go up to the saddle of the mesa, there is what I would call the backside of the vortex. There's a portal there. And as I was going up the trail, it was like a little indentation of rock with, are you still there, Kev?
Yep.
Okay. I thought I lost. Anyway, as we're going up there on the left-hand side on the trail as it's going up, there was a rock, like almost like a little mini cave. And there's two trees that are, of course, not living. They're dead because the vortex energy does act them. Nothing can really grow there. And I was telling Michael and the other two members in our group, I said, three members in our group, I said, that's a portal. And I explained the portal. I said, and Michael was asking me, he goes, well, what are you seeing? I said, well, it's, you're looking, I said, I'm looking into it. I said, there's like a little boundary around it that's sort of like a sparkly silver gray color. And I said, I can see into it, and behind it was like the backside of the rocks of the canyon, and it was a sunny sky with blue sky with white clouds. And I told them,
and the audience needs to know that the entire time we were there, there was no blue sky. It was well until the afternoon,
right,
of Sunday.
Anyway, this particular day that we went up, it was cloudy out. It was cloudy. It was raining on the side that we were at, but on the back side of the portal, it was a blue sky with white clouds, and the sun was shining. And so I was telling them, I said, well, I see energy beings. I see light orbs going in and out, and I see other very beautiful energy beings, beings of light going in and out that were, you know, human form. They were human form. And Michael mentioned that, well, he says, then he said, do you feel it's the backside of the vortex? And I said, yeah, as a matter of fact, it is. So anyway, we went up around the corner, and then when we got up to the top of the mesa, which was actually a saddle, we, you know, put our little drop cloths down and then put our pillows down. And Michael started doing the meditation. Well, this was on Friday, the afternoon that started the conference. And before we sat down, I actually was standing next to two other trees, which was right above, right next to the vortex, because the vortex is like right in the middle of the saddle. And I did another reading, and I got another vision, and across the valley, it was cloaked. It was a Pleiadian ship. And this ship was piloted by Semyazi, Billy Meyer's Pleiadian contact, the female, Pleiadian female that he has in contact with. And Arajek is her cousin, and next to Arajek was his co-pilot and mate, Marielle. And they actually consider themselves the guardians of Boynton Canyon, of that area. So they were watching what was going on, what we were doing, you know, getting ready to do the meditation and everything. They were also watching the activity that was going down in the Enchantment Resort.
Okay, Debbie, I hate to do it, but a break is taking over. We got to step away for that. Thank you for the call and the information. It's a delight to talk with you again. I do appreciate the call. We'll be back, folks, right after this. All right, welcome back. Let me announce again that old number. Yeah, I know it showed up on your screen during the break, for those of you who are watching KSS TV, but that isn't working. Okay, so if you wish to call in, you have to call 623-444-5889. Now, these glowing orbs appeared over a campsite in the UK. Lots of people came running out of their tents and wanted to see them. The news reported that similar lights had, in recent weeks, been found to be Chinese lanterns, often released during summer weddings. Well, yeah, but the witnesses said this. They were darting around. They weren't just floating across the sky. They were moving around. They were darting around. Doesn't sound like Chinese lanterns. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Mike from Kentucky.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, just want to say I got all that stuff taken care of. You know, seems like in all that computer mix-ups and the hacking your computer, I lost my membership and everything. So I got all that taken care of again.
Hello.
Outstanding. So it's all working for you again?
It's all working now.
Outstanding.
So
wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I've been listening to the show a little bit, and that one person, I know everybody says this, and talking about the Kenneth Arnold sighting.
Uh-huh.
Kenneth Arnold coined that flying saucer term, but he did not.
That's right. It was invented by the media.
Exactly. The disc appeared to be like saucer skipping over water.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, you and I, we both know that, but I just thought I'd call and say it over the air for clarification.
Yeah, the phrase flying saucers was invented by a newspaper reporter based on the fact that he said that their movement was like saucers skipping on water. But there are pictures of Kenneth Arnold that were published in newspapers holding up a drawing, an illustration of what he saw. And what he saw was sort of horseshoe-shaped, kind of bat-winged. And they definitely were not flying saucers. That was invented by the media. They also invented little green men.
Exactly.
Nobody in ufology has ever said that they saw little green men. That was invented by the media. And then they drag that out and whip up on people with it and laugh and say, oh, you believe in little green men. They invented that. None of us did.
Well, they kind of tried to tie the connection between the little green men and men from Mars together back in those days.
Yeah, all media nonsense. Or as Debbie said in that video that you saw, horse pucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I talked to Dick yesterday, and he's doing fine. Hey, he even sounds like the old Dick. He's really getting back.
You're talking, of course, about Dick Criswell.
That's correct.
Good deal. Is he back home now?
He's home. He's still doing outpatient therapy at home, and he'll continue to do that 2 or 3 days a week, but when I heard him talk this time, he sounded like Dick.
All right. I'll have to give him a call. He may be ready to do another show.
He might be.
Yeah.
But just wanted to let you know that I got everything straightened out. I enjoy these shows. And I really enjoyed that Johnny Sands the other night. And I didn't call in on it, but I was listening.
Well, I'll tell you what. The Johnny Sands show, Friday night show, it's been 34 years since he's talked about all of this, and much of what he told us had never been told before, you know, in the press, in the media. They are things that people around him knew about, that he discussed with them, they discussed with him, or they were witnesses of it, but he never discussed it with the press. And so that show, Friday night, was the first time the world has heard all of that story.
Right. And, you know, I've been out there in Vegas, and I've been out in those roads and out toward Red Rock and other places. And, you know, you could easily get turned around out there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, as you can here, if you get out into the desert, you can easily get turned around because it all looks the same.
Exactly.
All right, thanks for the call, man.
All right, talk to you later.
All right. Yeah, open line, and the telephone number is 623-444-5889. I am more and more convinced that major media is not interested in informing the public as well as they are, or as much as they are, informing public opinion. And so you get to hear about that quite a bit here on the show. Let's go to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Are you talking to me?
I am indeed.
Oh, hi, Kevin. This is Victoria. I'm from Washington State.
Hi, Victoria.
Hi. Like your show tonight. I had a couple of questions. I was really wanting to go to that conference with Ed Grimsley, and I just wasn't able to make it. I was afraid it was going to be really hot down there. Was it hot?
No, not. As a matter of fact, it was pretty chilly because we were up in the mountains, and then it was cloudy and raining most of the time. It finally cleared off on the afternoon, the last afternoon of the conference. And it cleared off, and it began to warm up a little bit. But, no, it was quite comfortable, maybe just a little bit on the chilly side. Now, where did you say you're from? What state?
Northern Washington State.
You would not have found this chilly.
Well, Anacortes. No, I would. Well, I had heat stroke, so I'm really sensitive to heat, and I thought, oh, it's going to be really hot, so I didn't. I was on the borderline of going. Anyway, I have two questions.
All right.
And the first one is, you know, I was really interested in your Gods in the Garden teleconference that you did with Jerry Wills.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, because, you know, some of these venues are so far away, I was wondering if you think that sometime in the near future, if conferences will be presented that way, you know, where you can hear the speakers, you pay a fee, and you get to sit in the comfort of your living room without having to go through Homeland Security anywhere, and not have to have jet lag and all of those other discomforts. I was just wondering if it was, you know, if it's something that you think is coming in the near future for us home folks.
Yes. Absolutely, I do. This was our first time, and we had a few bugs technologically that sort of created a few headaches for us. But we learned from it. We now know how you do this with ease now. So, yes, I think so. And talking about having to go through Homeland Security. Listen, I flew out from here to Los Angeles, from Phoenix to Los Angeles. It was not even an international flight. And I live right here in the Phoenix area. I'm not hard to find. I went to the airport, and ever since I became an international police officer, from the day that I became an international police officer till today, and I haven't been one now for 5 years, but right up through today, I get the full tilt boogie when I go through airport security. And all of us did. So I go out to the airport. They pull me aside. Anytime I travel, they pull me aside. They make me pull off my shoes. They make me stand in front of this X-ray machine and get a full body X-ray, two shots, you know. And then this guy even asked me, are you wearing a money belt? I said, well, you've got an X-ray. Did you see one? And he didn't like the answer.
You don't get smart with me.
And so he says, are you wearing briefs or boxers? I said, you're kidding me. He said, answer my question. I said, well, the answer is you have an X-ray. What did you see? So he says, come with me. And he takes me over to this little kind of an office thing that's about the size of two telephone booths. And a guy in a suit comes out. And like I'm going to be intimidated. And he starts asking the same questions. I said, look, here's the deal, guys. You took two x-rays. You have no reason to mess with me. I am a U.S. citizen. I am a former international police commander. And you guys have two x-rays. So whatever it is you want to know is in those x-rays. And that's just going from Phoenix to Los Angeles. Well, they didn't like it, but what are they going to do? You know, and so I went to
a watch list and mess with you a lot.
Oh, I'm already on a watch list.
Oh.
You know, I'm one of the most loyal Americans that is in existence. That doesn't mean I'm the most loyal, but I'm one. I'm among the most loyal Americans. I love my country. And it really makes them nervous. I said something to them about the Fourth Reich, you know, and it kind of made them nervous. But, you know, America is the Constitution. It's not anything else. You take away the Constitution and America is gone. It vanishes in a poof of smoke. And there is nothing else that is America. The Constitution is America.
And, I agree 100%.
And all of those violations of our constitutional rights, regardless of the reasons they tell us, are anti-American.
Well, that aspect intimidates me so much. I don't want to fly anywhere, and driving is such a long trip. But I think that if you have anything to do with ufology, that you're on the watch list, and you'll get kind of blackballed and messed with, you know, in airport security. So I
also get followed when I travel to foreign countries, and that's not paranoia, because I have walked up to these guys when they thought they were doing what's called black tracking. Black tracking means to track someone and not have that person recognize that they're being tracked. I've walked up to them and talked to them and watched them just turn white as a sheet.
Well, do you think that people who are interested in ufology are watch list?
Some. I certainly am, because when I sit at this microphone, people in 95 countries are listening. And so I certainly am.
That's another good reason to do teleconferencing, because you can get the information out, man, and you just, you know, I think you just have a huge turnout, more than what they get on national TV and network TV and all of that stuff. But anyway, listen, I have one more question
real quick,
which I'm just dying to ask.
Okay.
Ed Grimsley has the sort of the Star Wars version of, ufology, of what goes on in the night sky. And James Gillen has a totally 180-degree different perspective. And I was just wondering if you know that the two of them have gotten together and talked about what's going on, what the differences are. And
yeah. Listen, a break is taking over. I will answer that when we come back from the break. Just listen online.
Okay, great.
All right, thanks for the call. We'll be back, folks, right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We're on final approach. That means we only have a few minutes left in tonight's show. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, good evening, Kevin. It's Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
If that magic jack would have been some help right now with that other line.
Yeah. Did you get my email?
Yeah. It's exactly where I sent it, and it said unknown, and they sent it back to me. And, you know,
I'll tell you what. Check and see if you put 1903 or 1930. It's 1930.
Oh, okay.
Okay. What's your question or your comment?
Well, I just saying that, like, we spoke before about being on a list, mm-hmm. and I'm saying you got two strikes. One, you're trained, very well trained, you know, and two, you got a voice.
And I'm not quiet.
Yeah. So anyone, they're tracking even military people that's coming back. They're considering them. as possibly hostile, and from what I hear from the internet and all that stuff. So, I volunteer this disclosure. You know, everyone's starting to think that it's going to happen, and I don't really believe it. It's going to, things are going to be let out. Maybe some of the other countries will let some stuff out, but our media will give it very little, if no, voice.
Oh, that's absolutely. I've said many times on this show, if you really want to know what's going on here in this country and around the world, but if you want to really know what's going on in this country, you need to read the media that's outside of this country. They will report on things. Of course, it's bent and spun in a direction that favors, their country. But still, you find out about things that are happening inside this country that our media are just not going to tell you. They're going to tell you about Britney. They're going to tell you about Madonna's new adopted child. She's sending her jet to pick the child up. They're going to tell you about Miss California and the woes of Miss California. But if you really want to know what's happening in this country, you have to read the media that's outside the country, because ours are not going to tell us.
Yeah. And another thing I remember back from my days in the academy when I was doing a paper on people behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember this one author, philosopher from, I quoted from Britain, he wrote that people would rather die than think. And they do so.
That's true. Yeah. For many people. Now, I have found, honestly, the people that listen to this show, the audience that listens to this show, don't really fall into that category. The people that listen to this show are really thinkers. And you know yourself, you don't always agree with my perspective on something. And you call in and you say what you think and your perspective on it. So you do your own thinking. And this audience generally tends to be thinking people. But there are many, many, many millions, perhaps billions, who never have yet had a deep thought. But this audience tends to be pretty deep thinkers.
Yeah, I agree with you. Just by their participation proves, that they're a notch above that, robotic society.
Yeah. Well, listen, we're just about out of time. I'm going to see if I can get one more call in here, but I want to thank you, Terry, for the call. Very interesting.
Okay, I'll get that back out to you as soon as I can.
All right, thanks. All right, 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. We have time for one more call, and then that'll be a wrap for this evening. You don't want to forget now, tomorrow, Dr. Michael Sala is going to be my guest. And we are going to be talking about this series of articles that he has been publishing that link the, I told you we have some telephone woes here tonight. He's going to be talking about this series of articles that he's been publishing that link the UFO information to the Kennedy assassination. I don't know what I think about that yet, and maybe you've formed an opinion, maybe not, but you'll get a chance to hear it from him tomorrow night. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
My name is Ralph, and I'm calling from Alberta, Canada.
Hi, Ralph.
Kevin, I just wanted to call and tell you that I watched your seminar DVD, Gods in the Garden.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, I was just curious as what kind of tools you use to translate the Hebrew.
Well, I read Hebrew, but I mentioned in the seminar a tool that anybody can use. It's just almost anybody can use this. It's called Strong's Exhaustive Concordance. If you read Hebrew, then you might want to use a lexicon that's called the Gesenius Lexicon, just to verify what you're doing. But anybody can use the Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, because you read the English translation, you pick out a word that you want to see, well, what does that actually say in the original language? You look it up in Strong's Concordance, and it'll have an index number beside it. And you look in the index, in the back of the concordance, you look that number up, and it gives you the spelling of that word, phonetic spelling, and then it'll give you the definitions. It works like a dictionary at that point. So it's not as versatile and as usable as a Gesenius lexicon, but to use the Gesenius lexicon, you would already have to have some working knowledge of Hebrew.
Oh, okay.
But the Strong's Concordance will do it for you.
Yeah?
Yep.
But, yeah, it was. I thought it was really great, and I learned a lot of stuff about certain Hebrew words and stuff. It was very interesting.
Yeah, it. You know, I don't tell people, as you know, since you've watched the DVDs, I don't tell people you ought to believe Genesis. You ought to think that it is a holy book. I realize some people do, but I'm not out there promoting that. That's the case. What I am saying is, if you look at the document itself, it tells a really mind-blowing story that's quite different from what we've been told it says.
Mm-hmm.
And there's more in Genesis than I was able to cover in that seminar. And there's an alien hybrid program that gets shut down. And it comes right out and says it. And it tells what happens to that first race of humans, and why it happened, and then leaves us as the only humans left. There's two races of humans, and we, of course, then have something genetic about us that is extraterrestrial in origin. And all that's in Genesis. Well, listen, thanks for the call. I've got to run because we're out of time.
Okay, Kevin.
All right, thanks for the call. All right, that's a wrap. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.